Wake up. Wake up. That's right. Friday, wake up. Everybody, get out of bed. Let's go. Welcome to Friday, December the 12th. It's the Krug Show meets the Plouse. It's wake up. So wake the boop up.
I mean, goodbye to the bye week. Those things aren't fun. I know they're very valuable for the football team, but they're not fun. We had a little fun. We got to hang out with our families. Larry, I know you did a great event at Pig in a Pickle, got some Christmas holiday shopping, got the Christmas tree, put the Christmas tree up last night. I mean, we're ready to go. Thanks. It is the holiday season, and it is almost playoff season for these NFL teams, and everything the 49ers could possibly want out of a football season is right there for them, Larry. Got to beat the Tennessee Titans. This one is non-negotiable. You know, you can't call something a must win, because if you don't win a must win, that means your year is over. And technically, the Niners can lose this game and still do great things this season. But I can't take you seriously if you lose this game. Tennessee's not good enough to beat the 49ers in this game. The situation around this game, coming off a bye week with a one seed to play for, that better have this team laser focused on the goal of the Tennessee Titans. This should be one that the 49ers get, and they could even get it loud. Vegas is saying 12.5. That's an awful lot of numbers to give an NFL team, but that's how good the 49ers think they are coming out of the bye week, and that's how bad the Tennessee Titans have been all year. This should be a handle your business game for the San Francisco 49ers, and we know that there's nothing easy in this league. This should be among the easier afternoons of football the 49ers will play all season.
Yeah, I mean, should is a great word, isn't it?
It does a lot of lifting, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, nothing ends your momentum towards, you know, doing something in the playoffs like losing at home to a 2-11 football team. So, yeah, a loss in this game would be probably emotionally devastating to the 49ers and would make us reshape our entire opinion of the season and everything that goes along with it. Tennessee is dangerous, and the reason they're dangerous is because they're an NFL team. They've got a talented young quarterback who's got some moxie, and they got nothing to lose, man. They can let it all hang out, and they can play loose. So you got to take away their belief. I think the first quarter in this game on Sunday is really the essential key, is just don't give this team life. I mean, I saw Tennessee – Arizona for some reason. I don't know why I saw that game, but I did. It was my survivor pool was on it, so I was watching it pretty intently. And Arizona had an ability to go up 28-0. And Dermercado downed it at the one instead of, I thought he crossed the goal line, but they called it a fumble. And Tennessee did not, Arizona did not score a single point after that, and Tennessee came back with Cam Ward and won that game. So I've seen Cam Ward in the fourth quarter. I've seen him against Cal in college come back. But you know, he's right now, he doesn't have much of a line. They are dead last in the NFL in second half rush attempts. So they really never get to run the ball very well in the second half. They have Pollard and Spears, and they can run the ball decently, but they can't run the ball because they're always behind. So this game's dangerous. I mean, this Titans team is dangerous because they have absolutely nothing to lose. And that's always a dangerous spot. They're bad though for a reason. And their record is 2-11 for a reason. And I do think there's some major advantages for the 49ers, including if you looked at their game last week against Cleveland. It was a nice win for them, and they did a decent job shutting down Judkins and Sampson as runners, but those guys roasted them as a receiver. And now here comes potentially Christian McCaffrey, Garendo, or whoever the Niners want to throw it to out of the backfield. And I think that's going to be, you know, if you look at those numbers, Tennessee's defense in the intermediate area is not good. And the 49ers live in that intermediate area, and I expect them to dominate. Now, The one thing I would love to see, it's time to sit CMC if you can. He's got 322 touches. You have designs on a big performance coming up in a couple weeks against the Bears. The Bears are giving up over 5 yards a carry in like 7 or 8 games in the last 10. They're really struggling as a run defense. You've got to make them pay. You've got to play ball control and complimentary football and run the heck out of it with CMC. So do you, and he's sick. Didn't practice yesterday.
You just got to just downshift on the guy based on the fact what he was limited in practice yesterday. He missed practice the day before. I don't think Christian McCaffrey needs a lick of practice to go out on a field and have a good game, but he's been sick. He's been under the weather. So asking him not to do too much this week feels like the right thing for a number of different reasons. Mainly, you shouldn't need to have to go to your nuclear option to beat the Tennessee Titans. Like, I do think
Robinson
Jr. could play in this game. Maybe even would we dare see an Isaac Garrendo appearance? My God, is Jordan James playing this game? My God.
It's not just about winning. It's about how you do it. You know, what are you doing right now if you're an NFL team? You should be trying to do everything in your power to build momentum towards winning a Super Bowl. Okay, so what's going to build momentum? Well, obviously getting a win, right? First and foremost, number one on the list, get a win, right? Get a win. So I understand why the Niners have used Kittle and Jennings and CMC almost exclusively. But if you really want to get this thing going on a level that maybe on a Super Bowl trajectory, especially with this limited defense with no Bosa, no Warner, that's bad in a lot of areas, including dead last in sacks, you might want to start scoring a few more points and having a little bit more explosiveness to your offense. So I would like to see the 49ers, you know, I was looking at the Niners' lack of explosives. They don't throw the ball to explosive players that often. You know, they throw it a lot to CMC now, Damon, but a lot of it's just like right on the other side of the line of scrimmage, and they're just moving it. They're kind of, you know, throwing it to him real short. As far as he's not getting the explosives, JJ's not providing them. Kittle, your tight end, almost never provides the explosives, even though he can and has and did last week. But I'm just saying, or 2 weeks ago. But my point is just that they need to get their speed is Watkins, Cowing, and Pearsall. They've got to, in these last 4 games, get their speed going. And not only get their speed going, imagine the vibe, Damon. And you do these in-game shows, and I'm doing a big post-game show on Sunday. Imagine the vibe if the Niners don't just beat Tennessee, but if they beat Tennessee and we got our first real shot or, you know, sight of Watkins or Garrendo or both, or Brian Robinson, you know, instead of CMC had 2 touchdowns and 110 yards. Imagine the feeling as you're getting ready for the rest of your schedule, knowing that you just put up big numbers with like your B team as your A team was resting up for the bigger games. That would, to me, would give the Niners a better chance at winning a Super Bowl. So I think if they can get up in this game, even early, 7 points, 10 points early, let's see. I mean, they've been using their main guys so much. Let's see anybody else. DeMarcus Robinson, Garrendo, Brian Robinson, you know, Cowing, Watkins, Bourne, anybody that's not Kittle, Jennings, and CMC. Would you agree? Because it's like
100%.
You get out of this game and you've used everybody. I'm just thinking of it from being in that locker room. Right now, the vibe in that room is like you got some guys who have really been working hard and like almost are like gutting it out because their bodies are just getting torched, right? And then you got all these other guys who are kind of on the outside looking in as bit players. Shanahan needs to broaden the cast, I think, at this point, and give his stars a little bit of a breath and win this game with some non-Kittle, CMC, Jennings guys.
I completely agree with you on all fronts, and I'll even say conversely, What would be really nice to see is this team get to Cam Ward a little bit, because Cam Ward is the most sacked quarterback in all of football. So today, or, you know, this is a team that has been incredibly challenged, like you said, in explosive plays, what, dead last in explosive runs in the NFL. One or two of those this week from Brian Robinson Jr. or Jordan James getting his first carry as a pro. Yeah, that, I mean, it would just put a little bounce, I think, in everybody's step. It would make the team feel good. There'd be a new guy to high five at the end of the game for everybody. That would be a good thing. A couple of turnovers defensively, not making the mistake defensively, not giving up the big play to Tony Pollard that all of a sudden has just flipped the field in the situation here in the second quarter. And it's not as, you know, you're not as in control now as you did. That's what happened, by the way, in Cleveland. That game started with an early 65-yard run by Tony Pollard that sort of skewed a very good running day for the Tennessee Titans to looking like a great running day for the Titans. We'll get into that in just a second, but it's a day to just handle your business. And if you can spread the business around the depth chart, especially like you said, to overused offensive pieces, outstanding. I mean, you could not dial it up better than that. And the one thing that we do know, and I know you want to illuminate this, Larry, you got some stats you want to share with the audience. Kyle Shanahan coming out of the bye week, his teams punch hard. His teams punch hard. This is, by the way, a common thread between all good coaches in this league. Coming out of a bye week, you are a handful. And I also need to stress this. The Tennessee Titans have not won back-to-back games since the 2022 NFL season. So you cannot be the team that loses to the Titans, giving them back-to-back wins for the first time in a number of years. There are only two teams, the Cardinals and Browns, that have lost to the Tennessee Titans. You cannot become the third. And I'm going to tell you, if it takes handing Christian McCaffrey the ball 55 fucking times to beat this Titans team, you do that then. Like, this is a non-negotiable. You have to win this game. There's bigger things coming. But you cannot get the ultimate prize if you dump this game. So I think the motivation is there. I know a lot of people want to say, could be a trap game. No, you cannot have a trap game coming out of a bye week. It doesn't work that way. So I don't think this is a trap. I think they're going to be focused. I think Shanahan used this bye week to absolutely sit down, sharpen the knife. And we should see the best 4 weeks of football that the 49ers have in them, the best 4 weeks that they can put out there without Bosa and Fred Warner being involved. This is it. Like, they're ready for their close-up, and they just got a week of decent health. So it should be a big, big, I think it should be a loud win for the 49ers. Again, always walking into games humbly, understanding those are all NFL guys too, but 49ers should handle this one. For sure. By the way, Larry, anyone who wants to handle lunch today, let me tell you, it's a great time to see if you're in an Ike's delivery area. Hopefully there's an Ike's around you coming up soon. It's one of the fastest growing sandwich empires in the world. Get yourself to Ike's right now. You can use promo code TREAT between now and December 17th with any sandwich purchase and get a free dessert. Little holiday gift to you from Ike's. And thanks to our friends at the Dubliner West Portal. As always, great place to go watch Warriors, Sharks, Niners, and it'll be baseball season before you know it again here, Larry. So thanks to our friends at the Dubliner West Portal. And again, thanks to you. We ate great last weekend at Pig in a Pickle, Larry. That was fantastic.
Yeah, it was. It really was. Thanks to Pig in a Pickle for being the title sponsor of the Krug Show. Thanks for everybody being here as we get things rolling here on a Friday morning. I'm down here at Levi's, as you can tell, out of the home studio in the very, you know, it's very well decorated studio here at Levi's. Damon's in his studio. But hit like and subscribe. We're glad all of you guys are here. Thanks for being here. We do this every Monday and Friday and basically every morning after a 49er game. Wake up on both of our channels, and also like to thank, of course, Pig in a Pickle for being the title sponsor. They've got two locations, Corte Madera, Emeryville. We were in Corte Madera last Sunday, thanks to Damon and Mary and all the good people there. They're also opening a location in Petaluma in 2026. We're really excited about that. So thanks to Pig in a Pickle for being the title sponsor of the Krug Show. Thanks to Sharp Corner Sports Cards and Collectibles. The great Anthony Catania is at 831-521-5264. And he is paying your shipping on all your sports collectibles on anything you order between now and the end of the year, little holiday give back, if you mentioned the Krug Show. And we should also tell you, Ford Niner football season on both of our channels, presented by Sleeper, the fastest growing fantasy platform in the world. It's a one-stop shop. You get blazing fast news, real-time stats, group chat, season-long leagues, and of course, Sleeper Picks for daily fantasy. Use promo code Larry. Sleeper will match your first deposit on my side up to $100. Links in the description, and terms and conditions do apply. We'll thank Habis Law in a bit, but thanks to our sponsors. Thanks to our supporters. Thanks to the people who watch this show each and every week. And there's lots of them. You know, it's funny. The guard in the hallway here, you know, we used to have a little card key that would just boop, you know, you're in. Then I think they maybe had some security breaches or whatever, and they changed the protocol, whatever. Now you just have a guard who, you know, scans your thing, whatever. Anyway, the guy's out there in the hall, and I come in, and he's like, "Hey, man, good morning. How you doing?" I'm like, "Great." He's like, "Man, you guys start up at 9 o'clock. We better get that door open for you." And he's like, no. I was like, "Yeah, you watching?" He's like, "Oh yeah, man, I'm watching on my phone." And I'm like, "That's awesome, man." So, you know, very, very cool. And yesterday, hilariously, I'm doing a video about John Lynch's thing, and I'm down getting my kids some stuff at a lacrosse place in Danville. And I just said, "Yeah, you know what the hell? I'll give him a little love, because what the heck? I'm standing out in front of the place. I'm waiting for it to open. It's kind of a cool store. I'd been there before. I was going to return an item and get another item and whatever." And you know, so I put out the video about John Lynch, got so many people commenting about the lacrosse store, Damon, that the owner like calls me and he's like, "Hey man, I'm getting all these people calling in about you mentioning me on your video." And I'm like,
Would you go and pick up some STX gloves? Do they even sell, brother? Do they even sell wooden lacrosse sticks anymore? I only played with wood, Larry. I didn't like graphite. I didn't like aluminum. I didn't like any of the fancy. I played a lot of lacrosse. I was a crease defenseman, 6 foot long STX wooden stick. I wasn't even interested in the ball. I just wanted to hit you as hard as I could while you were looking for the ball.
You know, that's what we have in common, because that's exactly what I played in high school and at Sac State. I played crease defense, and it was just
is this why we're friends? It's not even that we're
never even discussed this before, but no, yes, yeah. Oh my God, I used to absolutely level guys all the time. You know, they're coming, guys coming around a pick, and they're looking the other way thinking they're going to, you know, shoot and score, and you just absolutely, you know, just drop them. So yeah, no, it was a great position. I love lacrosse. My youngest kid's playing.
It was my favorite sport to play. I liked it more than football. It was great. And my coach used to tell me all the time, "Concentrate on the ball." I said, "I don't like the ball. I'm not here for the ball. I want somebody to be looking for the ball. And that's the guy I hit."
See, I had it right at this point. This was my sophomore year in high school. And I went to a party, and I'd never seen so many beautiful women at one party. And I'm like, "What party is this?" Like, "This is the lacrosse party." I'm like, "You know what? I think I'm going to play lacrosse." Oh my God. It was an amazing come of age for young Larry Krueger in high school, playing lacrosse, and just, you know, it was great. I absolutely loved it. We had so much fun. I would not have done it even any different. And my youngest kid's has played baseball last year, but now is going to switch over. So good for him. And I'm excited for him. Hey, back to this.
Yeah. Let's talk about Shanahan coming out of the bye. I know you wanted to focus on that, 'cause it's a monster number. What is it? 8-1 coming out of the bye.
45-19 is the Niners record post bye under Shanahan, as far as after the bye through the end of the year, but he's 5-1 in the first game post bye week, at least in his last six that I saw. So, and I think that's probably the whole run. Yes. Well, maybe there's one in there, but yeah, he's 5 out of 6 as far as winning coming out of the bye. Why is that? I mean, that is the question. And I tried to ask him about it early in the week, and I'm not sure if I got my question out right. And I, you know, now I'm thinking about, do I double down today and ask him again about, you know, having success coming out of the bye? It seems almost like, you know, like something we already covered, or ground, you know, Harbaugh definitely would be like, "That's ground has already been plowed," you know. But it is interesting to me because the 49ers have such a late bye week. And John Lynch was on KMBR yesterday, and he said, I spoke to Eric DaCosta, the GM of the Ravens, who's a close personal friend. And he said, you know, they had a couple really late byes. And Eric DaCosta's thought was that it really freshened them up for a playoff run. And I kind of feel like it's so late that, you know, not that you don't need it eventually, but you're at some point, if you don't get that bye week early enough, you get to a different mode in the season. And now the Niners are in that turn for home, you know, let's go for the ring. And there's a lot of guys in that room, Damon, and you know it. Kittle, Juice, CMC, and others, many others, Warner, Bosa, Lenore, guys who have been there, have tasted it. Oh, they almost got it done. They almost got a ring, but don't have a ring, including the head coach. And I just feel like this feels like the Niners are going to be dangerous in the playoffs to me because they're not going to be nervous. The Bears will be. You know, some of the Patriots will be. Some of these younger playoff teams are going to be a little nervous. Then they've got a quarterback that's playing at a high level, I think, potentially, and has played in a Super Bowl. Once you've played and lost a Super Bowl, you don't get nervous in the wild card round. You don't get nervous in the division round. So you're going to have – the Niners are going to fire. Now, somebody may beat them. And I think the Rams could definitely beat them. I can't picture the Niners beating Stafford again. I kind of think that if the Niners are going to the Super Bowl, they're going to have somebody knock off Stafford in the Rams in the process. I don't know that they can do it, but whatever. I mean, you never know. It's the way you play, the day you play, and it's always a turnover or two and a special teams big play away. But I do find it interesting that the Niners have this late season kind of catch their breath. And now they've got this team in Tennessee where you could almost turn this into a 2-week bye for CMC and some of your key guys. If you could get a lead and win this game kind of comfortably with some other guys. And then you've got three games and potentially a playoff run at home. If you can win those three games, 2 of 3 at home, by the way, then you've got a chance to potentially be the one seed and never leave Levi's the rest of the year. I don't know. I mean, it's all there for them. I mean, I'm just saying, I'm not saying they're going to do it, but I just get the vibe in the room that there's a lot of guys who got close before, have tasted it. It's like, who's really, you know, are you thirsty if you've never had a drink of water? No, you're only thirsty if you've tasted water. And you've know how great it tastes, right? You don't crave something you've never had. You crave something you almost had or sort of had, you know, or had once, you know, and that's what these guys, a lot of these guys have that. And I just get the feeling that there's a hunger about this thing. And I think Purdy told me yesterday, the toe feels great. Lynch said that he thinks it's a non-factor now. He moved in that Cleveland game like it was. So they got to get their run game going. They got to get their run defense going. They got to keep their pass rush, you know, dialed up and get some turnovers. They got to keep playing well in special teams. A lot of these things have to happen. But I sense momentum building, and I'll say this. They will not whiz down their leg and play like crap and get bounced in the first round of the playoffs because they just no-showed or didn't play well. They may get beat, but they will go down and it will be a valiant, massive monster effort to out them. You're not going to get them out of this tournament without a really, really good run. But it all starts Sunday, right? You could miss the playoffs if you lose this game.
Right. Well, so, you know, I mean, the way I look at it, Larry, and you're right, there is the 49ers have all the experience in the world. They're one of the oldest teams in football, and they pay that price for it in some ways. But at the same time, you cannot just be like ears pinned back, peaking all season long. You know, one of the things that teams with good records worry about, you know, did they peak too early? The 49ers haven't even come close to peaking yet, right? We haven't even seen that. We have not seen a collection of good weeks of football really stacked on. Every game that we've seen has been a survival mode, just get through it. I've been saying burn the tape for like 8 weeks in a row. This game really doesn't matter. It's just get through it. Just stack wins until it matters most. And now that it matters most, this is, by the way, this is perfect right here. I want to bring up, I know you're cycling through there, Larry. Joseph Fernberg, right? Yeah. Look at the Bucs. Exactly. Tampa Bay looked really good early on in this year. Last night, they took as devastating a loss as any team has taken in the regular season in sports this year. The Buccaneers lost a game you cannot lose if you have righted the ship and you are now focusing on playoff time. The 49ers haven't even got there yet. And I think this is what starts
it's a break. Like
you said, the springboard coming out of the bye.
It's a break, too, because, I mean, bottom line is it's really hard to win the Super Bowl. We all know that. But you know what? Part of it is you got to qualify for the playoffs. And I know that sounds crazy. It's like you think, well, of course, all the best teams make the playoffs. Duh. Really? I mean, Baltimore's out. Kansas City's probably out. Joe Burrow and the Bengals are out. Right now, the Colts are out. A lot of people thought they were a Super Bowl team 3-4 weeks ago. I mean, that's just in the AFC. In the NFC, right now, Dallas might be one of the hottest teams. They're out. Falcons just pulled that upset last night. Oh, yeah, they're out. Tampa may be out. Lions right now are out. I mean, these are some of the better teams.
They'll be playing for their lives this weekend.
These are some of the better teams in the tournament, potentially, may not make it. So it's like some of the better quarterbacks and some of the better teams. I think Detroit's one of the better teams, but there's a chance they don't make the playoffs. And Kansas City, obviously, and Baltimore, I mean, they're good, very good football teams, even though they've had their flaws. But you got to qualify. You got to, you know, so that's a big part of it. And some of the best teams, it's not necessarily, you know, you don't have to play every team. You just have to play a few of them. And I don't see any team in the NFC. I mean, the Rams. The Rams look good, but the Niners have already beaten the Rams once. But the worst matchup would be Niners-Rams. But if the Niners get the Packers, I think the Niners beat them. I think the Niners can beat Philly. I think they would beat Carolina. I think they
here's
would
how
beat
wide,
Seattle.
Here's how wide open this thing is. I saw a mock. If the season ended today, here's how it all sets up. I think I like the lower seed in every single matchup that I'm looking at right now in that if the season ended today, here's how that's how wide open this is. It's never been more wide open. And I'm going to tell you, you know, you talk about just make it in there. Larry, as it stands right now, the 49ers have a 93% chance to reach the postseason. They beat the Tennessee Titans. It goes to a 95% chance. Should they lose to the Titans, it falls to 82%. And if the Lions shock the Rams, all of a sudden, you're on thin ice. Like, it only takes a step in the wrong direction here and another team taking a step in the right direction in another game. And then all of a sudden, things that look assured coming out of the bye week get really murky quickly. So it's a handle your business, non-negotiable, get it done game against Tennessee, if there ever was one. Again, nothing is easy. But some games are easier than others. And I was looking, Larry, you know, I did shows this week on Sharon Moore in Michigan because I'm a Big Ten guy. So that whole story fascinates me. And I got to tell you.
What happened there?
The girl at the center. Oh, dude, he banged the head coach assistant.
Oh.
Yeah, he's sleeping with subordinates and apparently might have. There might be another woman involved. There could be a schmishmortion that was paid for. All I can tell you is that Michigan is a bunch of dirty ass cheaters. And they got a coach who just fumbled the bag as hard as humanly possible. In a small world situation, one of my best friends from college coached the girl involved in high school basketball. So as soon as he saw a picture, he texted me. He's like, holy shit, I know this girl here. She's been identified and she's a part of this. And there's no innocent party involved here, but it's just a mess. And everyone in the Big Ten, there were rumors about this in the summer. and Michigan did a very lame investing. Anyways, I've done videos about Jonathan Kaminga. I've done videos about Michigan. I've done videos about this is a game that there's really nothing to talk about. I mean, seriously, what do the Tennessee Titans do well? I had to research this.
Well, Pollard's coming off his career game.
Tony Pollard is coming off. But they still don't even run the ball well. They don't. Tony Pollard's coming off a career game, very much buoyed by one play. And I don't like the if you subtract this one play, here's what your day is thing. Because he did it. But it was not like the Tennessee Titans have a roaring running game that just dominated the Cleveland Browns. It's quite the opposite of what really happened in that game. The one thing they do well, the one thing that is, even the worst Tennessee Titan critic in the world would have to give them, is the team's best statistical strength is their ability to pressure the quarterback. Their defense ranks inside the top 10 in league sack percentage at 7.39. We all know Jeffrey Simmons is a player. Arden Key is a guy that we all know very well. But even with that pass rush, they give up air yards like the 49ers do. Like their great pass rush gives them the same basically defensive results that the Niners have to live with the worst pass rush in football. So it really doesn't matter what they do well when it comes to affecting how they actually play. They also give up 123 yards per game while giving up 27.5 points per game. This should be a day where the 49ers, again, if Ram Robert Saleh, the only thing I'm talking, here's what we're talking about all week. All eyes on Tony Pollard. Cam Ward, we dare you to beat us. We dare you to beat us, Cam Ward. We freaking dare you to throw against. That should be the defensive game plan. All eyes on Pollard. Cam, we dare you. That's the way I think the Niners need to roll into this game. Because I don't think he can do it. I don't think Cam Ward can do it. Cam Ward is not good. He's not. He's been better. He's been improving steadily, as a matter of fact. I saw ESPN said he's got a 62% completion percentage since week 11. That ranks 13th among 34 qualified quarterbacks. But Tennessee still averages 246 yards per game in the air. That is dead last in the NFL. Cam is average. He's 246 yards per game total. Cam Ward is throwing 160 yards per game. 160 yards per game. He is so thoroughly not climbed into QB1 and sits there so comfortably that should Tennessee get the number one overall pick, they might be looking at Fernando Mendoza. I'm telling you, Cam Ward is not that. He's not that guy. Is he him?
I've talked to multiple people this week in Tennessee that said that they're absolutely, including a guy who's coming on Niners Nightly tonight, who's very much in the know.
Paul Kahursky says,
Paul Kahursky's coming on tonight. Paul says, no.
See, I even know you're insider. I know these things. But here's the thing. Cam Ward's not good. He might be.
They're not going away from him. It's terrible knee-jerk craziness to just draft a guy 1 year number one and then give up on him the next year. Now, we've seen quarterbacks get drafted number one and get quit on. Josh Rosen for Kyler Murray. Arizona did that. They were decisive. They felt like, but Rosen was not number one overall. Murray was number one overall. Now, if they had gone the next year and gotten rid of Murray, then that really would have been crazy. They're not going to get rid of Cam Ward. It's 1 year. They're going to continue to build around Cam Ward. He's a good player. He's built with the right stuff. He works hard. He's smart. He's competitive. He's going to get better. Right now, they've got, they run the most 11 personnel in the game right now. A lot of three wides, and two of their three wide receivers are rookies. So, I mean, you've got
right, kind the kid of a, from Stanford.
Yeah, you've got Elek Amanor, and then you've got DK, and they're both playing well. DK's had a Chimere DK's had a tremendous rookie year. He's been a great surprise for them. but they're rookies. They're rookie receivers. So the 49ers should be able to take away their passing game. The average margin of victory for the Titans this year is minus 12. It's last in the NFL. Okay, so this is the worst team there is. They're dead. You know, they've got the league worst record at 2-11. They've earned that record.
They've been outscored by about 150 points, yeah, which is insane.
It's a bad team. But here, let's not forget the reality, though. They're coming off a game where they're running the ball very, very well. And the 49ers are not stopping the run. The 49ers are giving up. They're getting gashed by the run. So, I mean, that's the big one. Niners are giving up 103.8 rushing yards per game. So, I think Tony Pollard, stopping Tony Pollard and Tyjae Spears, you know, their rush numbers don't look great. But if you really look at it, it's just because they've been behind. So they don't score points. They fall behind. They stop running it in the second
right,
half.
Right, but the Titans only run for 85 yards per game, and that is
because they they're dead last in the NFL in second half rush attempts. They never run it in the second half.
Because they're always behind.
They're always behind, right. So it's not that they can't run. It's that they don't run. So in this game against a 49er run defense that's clearly challenged, I don't think they've proven they can stop the run with any consistency. Judkins was going for 7 yards a pop on first down. Sampson was doing the same. They've had their problems ever since Warner has gone out. And now without Bethune, they really have had their problems stopping the run. So how does Tennessee win this game? They win this game by just running the ball effectively and dominating the time of possession and converting on third downs. And they're good enough to do it too. That's the other thing. It's like, it's not that this is the NFL. I mean, they've been bad for a few years. So there's some good players here. Like Pete Skoronski, the left guard, is a good player.
Yeah.
They've got some good players on this football team. I mean, there's no question in my mind. Jeffrey Simmons is one of the two or three best defensive tackles in the game. Cedric Gray is a tackling machine at linebacker. Armani Hooker's coming on. Where the Niners should make hay and where the Niners should kick their butt is that they're really banged up in the secondary. They're going with Marcus Harris and they're really banged up. I mean, Daryl Baker and Kair Elam. They're really on their depth has been tested there, and so their pass defense, Purdy's going to carve them. I was looking at some of those, you know, individual sleeper lineups. We were doing one the other night, and the yards per game estimates on Purdy are really, really high in this game. They're expecting him to throw the ball really well against this Titans team. So I would expect a 300-yard day from Purdy.
Here's the deal. If he's got that, if the 49ers are sitting pretty late third quarter, I want Purdy getting pulled out of this game. Get Mac Jones back in there. I mean,
I agree.
It's something, stocking for future games is something that Shanahan needs to be thinking about right now. Look, like I said earlier, Tony Pollard's a good running back. There's no doubt. He's on pace for a 1,000-yard season. He is the only legitimate bright spot in their entire offense. All eyes on Tony Pollard. Cam, we freaking dare you. I mean,
here's the one thing on that, though, David. One
Cam a couple times this week. I think they're going to have a couple of sacks this week.
I agree. I think they'll get Cam down. Cam holds the ball a long time. He takes a lot of sacks. One note that ESPN research had today that I think is really interesting. Cam Ward has a 62% completion rate since week 11, which ranks 13th in the NFL during that span. Previously, he was last in dead completion last. Rate. From week 1 through week 10, he completed 58%. It's now up a little bit. So he is improving as the cast around him improves. But yes, the 49ers absolutely should win this game. And as you said, with a win, 96% chance of making the playoffs. I would think, though, that like if you're really thinking about this, there's a way to, I mean, you lose, nightmare. You win, but you win and you lose players, or you win, but you have to really use Kittle a ton and CMC a ton. And it's a struggle for four quarters and it's violent and it's just, That's a positive, but not as positive. To me, an overwhelming positive is not just that you win, but how you win.
With no injuries. You don't want to be paying the butcher bill at the end of this game. Here's the thing. The best thing that could possibly happen is 4-0, no major injuries. There would
no
be
injuries.
No
injuries is key. No injuries is key. But you're not running the ball well. Start running the ball well. This would be, you know, start doing the things that it's going to take to beat the better teams. People talk about, well, you know, they're going to get a comeuppance in the playoffs because they've played a bad schedule. They are, unless they can get there. You know, sometimes you can use we've seen it in the SEC. These SEC teams use these patty cake games against Mercer and Alabama A&M to get things going, to get momentum going, to get the guys feeling confident, and then bring on Tennessee, and then bring on Georgia. You know, it's like fatten up against these dog meat teams and get some momentum going. And I think the 49ers need to do the same thing. They're not running the ball well. They have no explosive plays in the pass game. They don't have Ricky Pearsall involved. He's not feeling good. Guerrero hasn't touched the ball. Brian Robinson has barely touched the ball. I think if you can come out of this game with a win, no injuries, and a lot of different guys touch the ball, Farrell, Tonjes, but not Kittle as much. You know, it doesn't have to be Kittle, CMC, and Jennings every week. And then this would be a great game to see if you could win with those guys kind of playing not just not such a huge role. And if you win that way, I think you go into Indy against Rivers, maybe the next week against the Bears, and maybe going into the playoffs eventually with every guy in the room feeling like they're contributing. And like right now, it feels like three or four guys are contributing a ton. And like, there's a bunch of guys who are just like in the room working out and they're in shape.
It's the CMC show. I mean, you're exaggerating.
Spread when you say three around. Well, I mean,
it's Kittle,
it's Jennings, and CMC. I'm saying use another receiver. Like some teams, you look at their receiving stats, and the first guy's got the most, and then there's a two and a three and a four and a. Here it's like Jennings and nothing. Nobody else is doing anything, and if you take away Jennings, if you don't get Pearsall or Cowing or Watkins or Bourne or some of these other guys touching the football, you can't ask them to come through for you in the playoffs when it matters. So get not just go to the playoffs, not just win, but get some momentum going. I thought that Bears win over Philly the day after Thanksgiving was a tremendous win. Why? Because they got momentum going with their offensive line and their rushing attack. And they came out of that game and were going, oh my God, look at the Bears. They're really running the hell out of it. I'd like to see the Niners come out of this Titan game with it'll be great if next week all of the national pundits or their topic is like, watch out for the Niners. They are really looking good because they need that. They need that momentum to win those. I think they can run the table. I think the Niners can run the table.
I really do
believe that. Impressive win here.
It'll be easier to run that table if you can get a little help from Ricky Pearsall. I mean, Ricky, it's time to be something other than basically worthless. He doesn't need to be an MVP. Just don't be worthless. This guy's got 5 catches for 20 yards in his last 3 games back from his knee injury. Now you could say, hey, he was rusty. He was out of rhythm. Well, all those excuses are gone. And then he just had another bye week here, a bye week. So, you know, he really needs to do something against a defense that has been open like a 7-11 all season long. Like Ricky, if you can't look good against the Tennessee Titans, against which team should we presume your coming out party will happen against? So do it now, Ricky. Show us something. And look, just to get back to the whole, like, I'm worried about the Tennessee ground game. Again, just focus on Pollard. Dare Cam to beat you. How in God's name did they beat the Cleveland Browns? A really good defense last week. I watched a little of that game, Larry. I went back and watched it, and I dove into the box. Here it is, man. So Tennessee gained 184 rushing yards in that game. That's a big day on the ground in Cleveland. Tony Pollard had one 65-yard run early in the game that was sort of a tone setter for Tennessee, a big play, kind of got, you know, everyone in a Tennessee uniform leaning into that game at that moment. But it's not like Tennessee shoved it down Cleveland's throat. The Titans were good on the ground for sure, but 24 carries for 96 yards everywhere else but that one Pollard explosive play. 26 carries for 96 yards. You know, I think that Tennessee only had 108 passing yards against Cleveland, but they put up 31 points. You know, they just cashed in.
Because, you know, what they did.
This game is a red zone game. If the Niners are good in the red zone, they will not lose this game. If red zone trips become 6 points, they will not lose this game.
They also shut down Cleveland's running game. I mean, Cleveland had no running game. Cleveland ran for 61 yards in that game, only 3-1 a carry. Also, Cleveland had more turnovers. You know, you got to win the turnover battle and you got to get the running game going. That would be, I mean, think about it this way. If the 49ers win this game, but they still can't run and it's some super struggle, they're going to have the win, but they're not going to really have any momentum out of it. If they win this game and CMC goes off, they'll have the win and they'll have some momentum. If they win this game and CMC plays a bit role and Brian Robinson runs for 145 yards, they're going to have a ton of momentum. So to me, it's not just how you win. It's not just that you win. It's how you win and get that thing going. But yeah, I mean, Tennessee's an NFL team. And they, for whatever reason, Cleveland, who ran really, I mean, this should be an eye opener. I mean, if you look at this, the fact that the Browns had 61 rushing yards and 3-1 a carry, they ran the ball more effectively than that against the Niners. So that tells you right there that, you know, this Tennessee run defense, you know, is not going to necessarily be a picnic. But also looking at that, Tennessee won that game, Damon. You know, they were +1 in turnovers, but they also had 11 penalties. How many games do you win where you have 11 penalties?
And, I just saw a team with 19 penalties last night. Good God.
But I mean, 11 penalties and 9 fewer first downs than your opponent, and you win 31-29. I mean,
it's because they were good in the red zone. They cashed in on the red zone. Every time they got there, they cashed in. Let me tell you.
But sort of the Browns. The Browns were 3-for-3 in the red zone.
You want to know what's nuts? Do you think the 49ers have a good red zone offense? Just quick, just, you know, without even thinking about it, yes or no. Are they good in the red zone?
Yes.
Yeah, they have been. A lot of people don't, I think, understand how good they've been in the red zone. Their red zone percentage is 62%. That's top 8 in the NFL. The Titans are in the bottom 8 in the NFL. So I just think that the rubber meets the road when you're playing a good team. And even though the Cleveland Browns have a decent defense, they're not a good team. Of course, the Titans were on more equal footing against the Cleveland Browns than they will be on equal footing against the 49ers. I really believe that. By the way, watch the Browns beat the Bears this weekend. It's out there. I told you that they were going to lose to the Packers. Watch the Bears lose 3 in a row before they get to the Niners, and then watch the Niners be the 4th loss in a row. Watch everything come undone now that it's the championship round.
This is a huge game for the Bears, because look at the Bears' schedule. The Bears play the Niners here. They play Green Bay at home, but Green Bay kind of owns them. And then don't they finish with Detroit?
Yes.
Well, but I mean, they do own them, but I mean, you know, I mean, the Bears fought them tough at Lambeau. I would expect the Bears to beat them at Soldier, beat Green Bay, but you never know. You never know. Green Bay has a lot of confidence against the Bears. And you know, here's the other thing, and this is the one part about, you know, this is why, you know, stay humble, my friends, is that Ben Johnson didn't. And he talked shit about Matt LaFleur. And when he got that job, he's like, I really enjoy beating Matt LaFleur, because Detroit had beaten LaFleur. But the Bears have not beaten LaFleur. And that's why it was such a popular thing to say. But guess what? You got to back it up. And now you're right. Your mouth's writing checks that your ass can't catch. And you're asking your team to have to play a motive. There's no doubt from what I've been reading, and I've been reading some of the stuff up in Green Bay. From what I've been reading, Damon, Matt LaFleur has used that big time. And I would expect the Pack to really, really fire in that game at Soldier. So they beat him at Lambeau. I'm going to take the Pack and the points at Soldier. You're right about this one. I think the Browns defense could, this is, the Bears got to have this one. And I think is it Detroit at the end?
Yes.
Yes. Detroit's beating them, man. Detroit's beating them at the end of the year. Detroit's a better team than the Bears. So I don't know. I mean,
the Bears losing streak is here. And the I told you the Colts were going to go on a 5-game losing streak, 4 out of 5. I know these teams in the Midwest. I spent enough time there. By the way, speaking of teams in the Midwest, I mean, come on, let's just bring this up and show everybody what true dominance looks like. Here we go. I'm feeling good. But look, I'm telling you, everything, the pendulum, I think, is starting to swing the 49ers way, Larry. The pendulum is swinging the Niners way for the first time really all year. And you're Shanahan again out of the bye week. When I think of Shanahan out of the bye week, the very first game that comes to mind is that game in Jacksonville in 2023. Where that felt like a springboard of credibility and it propelled them to the Super Bowl, right? I mean, it was special. I think that this is I just think that the Niners, in a season where they didn't feel like they were set up to be successful over an extended period of time at any point in time, here it is. The late bye week, which when the season schedule came out, it's one of the only complaints about the season schedule. Ugh, that bye week's really late. Turns out to be, you know, beauty is in the eye of the buy holder. Sometimes you look at it early, you're like, that's too early, but you get off to a bad start. This is what happened in Jacksonville in 2023. Now, that's an early bye week. I don't know if I like that, but then you sort of need it to circle the wagons, and then that is a springboard for something else. I just think that this whole thing is pointing in the right direction for the first time all damn year. So don't screw up and point it in the total opposite direction of the right direction by looking incompetent against the Tennessee Titans. If you don't beat yourself, like without turnovers, the Titans aren't winning this game. Without a special teams mistake, the Titans are not winning this game.
One thing that I don't know if it's real or not, but, you know, Keon White and Clee Farrell are playing well. Here's Robert Saleh from yesterday talking about Farrell. This is a pretty good answer from Saleh. Listen to this.
Give it to me.
Are you not hearing it?
No.
Oh, wait, hold on a second.
There you go. Put it on the board.
Oh, wait, you got it? You got it.
Now I see Saleh. I don't hear him yet.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Here we go. Try it again. Take two. Robert Saleh. Here we go. Boom.
What I do know is that the guy plays like it's the last play of his life, which is what you want everyone to play with. And I think when guys have the mentality that he has with regard to effort and play style, you're always going to give yourself a chance to succeed. And, you know, like I said, whether he lost weight and that's kind of been the edge to give him that extra step, that'd probably be more of a question for Kasarik. But he's definitely, like I said, what he's been doing is not fake. And hopefully, just to repeat myself, hopefully it continues for the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, they're getting really good performance out of Clee Farrell and Keon White. And it's funny, I'm in the locker room yesterday, Damon, and these two guys, Clee Farrell and Keon White, who, you know, when they first walked into the room, you know, whatever it was, a few weeks back, you know, they were both kind of quiet. Clee was back in the room. And, you know, he's just like kind of, you know, his sit down with the media, he's kind of looking around, he's kind of whispering, he's like, you know, I'm just glad to be back here. And like Keon White was very, very unassuming, very, you know, hey, I just want to contribute. And, you know, I'm trying to learn what I can learn and just trying to hope to help out. And, you know, real quiet, nothing. You know, now, fast forward a few weeks.
By the way, it's the right way to step in.
It is. And Clee Farrell now, though, has had 4 sacks in 4 games. And now, yesterday, I walk in. He is You know, he's hooping and hollering and he's yelling and he's dancing and he's running around. And Keon White is like sitting at somebody else's locker. He's shooting jumpers. He's talking trash. These guys have worked themselves into the team fabric very quickly. They've contributed. You want to fit in on a team, sack the quarterback and contribute. And then all of a sudden you can do anything you want. You can be as loud as you want. You can be as boisterous as you want because you are one of the tone setter guys. So it's great to see because White's got a ton of physical ability. Oh my God, it's off the charts. And Clee Farrell does look, I wasn't sure what it was, but maybe he is a little bit leaner. He had gotten up, Damon, to, I think, over 270. Now, he played as like more of like a 255 guy at Clemson, and he was pretty freaking ripped and was good there. Then he put on weight to try to play the run. I think he's leaned out. He looks more explosive. And as you heard Salah say there, it ain't fake. The Niners have to have, Damon, and you know it, they got to have a couple of breaks. They're not going to get this done. The Rams are the best team. The Rams are better. There's probably another team or two that are better, especially with the Niners without Warner, no Bosa. They need breaks. What are some breaks? Clee Farrell plays like Cody Ross with the Giants in 2010. You know? and all of a sudden,
FP Santangelo walking around wearing a Clee Farrell shirt.
Keon White becomes Marco Scudero. You know, I mean, it's like Keon White has the ability, the talent, and he's now in the right scheme. So I think it's going to continue. And Clee Farrell has dropped the weight and he's a little faster. And in this wide nine, now he's hunting quarterbacks. He's really hungry for that Super Bowl ring. They need like four or five lucky breaks to do this thing.
Right. So
one of them could be those two guys giving them enough juice up front.
Farrell gets drafted by the Raiders. It's where an awful lot of players' futures and hope and presence go to die. So you can't really hold that against him. He gets into a 49er uniform and he plays great. Now, all of a sudden, he's on the market. He's got an opportunity to maybe do something. And I think it's very natural for a player to say, okay, I just had a pretty good year. How do I get an even better year? I got to get bigger. And I think that's a trap an awful lot of guys who play on the line of scrimmage fall into. And I get it, man. I mean, you got to go to one NFL practice. And I wish we could bring every single person who's watching us right now to just one NFL practice or just one NFL sideline so you can actually appreciate the size and speed of these dudes until you're in front of it, until you're standing next to them. You can't appreciate it on TV, how big everyone is out there. So the got to get bigger thought pattern, of course, is in all these players' minds. Speed beats big an awful lot in football.
It's all speed. It's all speed these days. You know, everybody's smaller. I mean, Robert Saleh said it yesterday. He said in 2019, he said, we made a change in 2022. He goes, you know, we used to go for, hey, you know, we want our Mike linebacker to be a certain size and our strong side linebacker to be, you know, 250 and this and that. And now we just want three athletic linebackers that can play all three spots. We want guys who can run and hit and be violent. But they don't have to be 250. They can be 220. They can be 215. They can be 230. I mean, it's like, they don't have a certain size.
That's why I thought when we were looking for ways to get Nick Martin on the field earlier this year, I mean, we said put his hand in the dirt, have him stand up D end who's rushing. Just he's an athlete, shoot him at the quarterback. Now, I know that never really happened. It didn't materialize. And I think he's hurt this week, right? We're not going to see Nick Martin at all this week.
He's in the concussion protocol. The one good thing for the 49ers is Yetur Gross-Matos is back at practice, and he looks really good. He's fast. He looks like he's over the hamstring issue. So you're talking about another really athletic, big-bodied guy who's versatile and can rush the passer. So,
and you want to talk about that?
And Sam O, too. Sam O's coming, too. So you got some guys coming back. And I stood at Chris's practice yesterday. At practice at his drills because I could get real close to him. And, man, he is coaching these guys up. Robert Beal, you know, Clee Farrell, Keon White, you know, he's got a bunch, you know, Sam O, all these guys. He is putting it out there. And I get the feeling that this Niner D line may really start to really gel down the stretch. And that could be the key. I mean, you need breaks. Like the Giants in 2010 were not banking on Cody Ross. And what did he do? He won the NLCS MVP. They're not, the Niners this year have no pass rush. They're banking on Keon White and Clee Farrell. You've got to be kidding me. But these guys are doing the job, and they got to keep doing it. It's essential. Otherwise, they got no shot.
Well, you talk about the vibe, right? Like, what would the vibe be in the locker room?
Vibe's good.
Vibe matter. What will the vibe in the locker room be if we're talking about Yetur Gross-Matos at the end of this game? Who? First of all, who?
Or just anybody. Anybody right. Anybody that's not like two or three guys. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just spread it around a little bit. I mean, especially offensively. I think it would be great if Ricky got involved. I think it would be great if Watkins got involved.
How about an
end around to Jordan Watkins? I mean, seriously, we had to watch 15 end arounds last year to slow Deebo Samuel. How about remind us what a really good end around looks like and run it to Watkins, who at 200 pounds and 4.3 speed could take it to the house. I mean, you watch Kyle Shanahan run the heck out of it with Brian Robinson and run a couple end arounds to Jordan Watkins and have one go for like a 50-yard touchdown. And we will be talking big game on Monday about the exciting 49ers.
Give me Sky Moore on that end around. Give me Sky Moore on the end around. You know what I want? I want Brian Robinson to establish himself a little bit. And then you know what I want to be this week? I want to be flea flicked. Can I get flea flicked this week? Can I get a flea flicker? Let's go.
By the way,
I want some play action to open up some downfield shots.
On your Sky Moore, by the way, I talked to him at his locker this week. The Titans allow 9.3 yards per punt return. It's 11th in the league, 24.9 yards per kickoff return, 9th best in the league. But Sky Moore, I was talking to him, and I said, I saw the anecdote. Matt Barrows is so good, and he got an anecdote that when the Chiefs traded him, that Andy Reid called him. And so Sky's a really good dude. So I caught up with him at his locker, and I'm like, hey, man, I heard that Andy Reid called you. You know, and talk to you at the when he traded you. What can you tell us what that conversation was like? And he's like, he just said that, you know, just because, you know, your a change of scenery is not always a bad thing. And he pointed out, he said, he told Sky, he's like, hey, man, I was in Philly and I had a lot of good run there and it ended and I got a change of scenery and I came to Kansas City and then I started winning championships, and I never won them in Philly, but I did win them in Kansas City. And he's like, just because one thing doesn't work out one place doesn't mean that it can't work out somewhere else. And it gave him kind of a positive attitude. Now the kid's got a great attitude, Damon. You would love this guy. I mean, he's like your buddy, CJ West. You know, CJ West has got an awesome attitude. The Niners have some really great guys in the room, but Sky Moore, I said to him this week, I'm like, dude, when did you get this style of, because he attacks it, man. And I even talked to Trent Taylor, who's been in the league for almost a decade, and he's like, yeah, man, this guy really attacks it. He goes upfield. I asked Sky Moore, and he's like, and Sky even said, he's like, I really didn't get good at it until this year. Think about that. He didn't get good at what he's really best at right now, being a dynamic return man, fearless dynamic return man. He didn't get good at it until this year.
I wonder now, what he means when he says that. Is it a personal fear factor or lack thereof? Is it angles? Is it reading blocks? Like, I'd like a follow-up question there. I really would. Yeah, makes him think that he's now better at it than before?
Right. And we did ask him that. And he said that the reason that he's better at it now is just that he is aggressive. He's getting north, south, and he's got, you know, he's in his film. First of all, a lot of it's cerebral. It's not like there's going to be like 40 different options. There's like, you know, three or four different options, but you have to be able to recognize those, which option you're going to take when everybody's running down and the ball's in the air. And it's a lot of multitasking. So he said, you know, when the ball's in the air, I'm sensing where the guys are, but I'm keeping my eye on the ball. And then when I feel like I know what they've got set up, I've got a real basic game plan, make the first guy miss and then run to daylight. But he said it's his aggressiveness getting up the field north, south. He's not delaying it. He's not going east and west. He's not, you know, no false steps. He's like step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 are all up the field. And it takes a certain amount of courageousness because you could get blown up. And I said to him, I go, man, you can get blown up the way you're. He's like, and I do sometimes. And he laughed about it. But you have to have that level of, that's what it is. You know, you got to make you got to be real clear. You know what? And if I catch this, if this ball comes to the 10-yard line, I'm going to plant my feet at heels at the 10. If it comes to me at the 10, I'm going to catch it. If it's over my head, I'm going to get out of the way and let it go in the end zone. You know what I mean? You have to have like real clear like options in your head mapped out based on what they've shown on film, what it looks like to you. And they go over this thing over and over and over again all week. So it's pretty awesome. The behind the scenes, if you get a chance, you know, I think all the stuff that we put out there is pretty good, but I got to say the two interviews this week that I would definitely check out if you get a chance to go to the Krug Show on YouTube and watch some videos, the Sky Moore interview and the Trent Taylor interview, I think are two of the better interviews we've done this year.
I'll check it out. And I got a plan to make sure I get down to Santa Clara before the season's over too, because now I want to talk to Curtis Rourke now that he's like available to be chatted with. So I do want to talk to him. I want to get Curtis Rourke and CJ West both on the channel. I'm going to work on the Niners to have a little Indiana party on the channel, since those guys were such a big part of last year, and what this year has become is just so special. But when I think of, you got to be crazy to do that well positions in sports, there are two that immediately come to mind. Number one is kick returner, punt returner. You just got to be a psychopath to want to do that and do it well. The number two is goalie, hockey goalie. You'll never in your life meet a normal person who plays goalie in hockey. All of them are crazy. All of them. Every single one of those dudes is most likely to get arrested. I mean, you got to be a little nuts to want to have frozen rubber pucks shot at you at 100 miles an hour. You got to be a little nuts to do that. And if Sky Moore learned how to be a little nuts, I guess that's a skill too. And it seems like the very best of him has been in front of us for the last handful of games. And it's why the 49ers are looking like more of a complete football team than at any point they did. I mean, even in Super Bowl runs, you knew that the special teams was going to be shaky.
No doubt.
Are you ready? You want to just go nuts? You want to get crazy? Okay, let's go nuts, Larry. Let's go.
Coach Yak has put this out on his thing, trade proposal. Niners get Joe Burrow. Bengals get Brock Purdy, Alfred Collins, a 2026 first and a 2027 first. I think that sounds like an overpay.
Okay, so number one, you're trying to get a one seed, so stop it. But number two, okay, let's talk. If you take either Alfred Collins or that 2026 first rounder off that list, we can talk. It can be Purdy, Collins in the 2027 first rounder, or it can be Purdy and two picks. Can't be all four, but we can talk.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's a major risk to take the leader out of the room and put a different leader in the room. It could work. Heck, it worked for the Rams. They went from Goff to Stafford. And it could work, but it's a dramatic move. I mean, it's a dramatic, dramatic move. And you're asking your football team to really mid, you know, I mean, they'd get over it and it would be fine, but it would be an emotional thing, because there are guys that are really,
a lot of people really like Brock Purdy. Yeah, a lot of guys like Brock Purdy, rightfully so. Joe Burrow will win over your locker room in about 3 days. Everything that you've ever heard about Joe Burrow, people love him.
Why is Joe Burrow unhappy, though? I'd like to know. I'd like to hear him say what. Yeah, I'd like to hear him say that, actually. I'd like to hear him say that he's unhappy because of he's with the Bengals. I'd like to hear him say exactly why he's unhappy. Because, you know, he doesn't – the one thing I watched that quarterback show, and all these quarterbacks have a life. And I just felt like when I watched that show that he didn't really have a life. He's got a mom and a dad, and he's like groomed to be this Ohio wonder kid. And he went to Ohio State, then he went to LSU, and he won the national championship. Now he's been drafted. He's trying to win the Super Bowl, but you know, I didn't see a wife. I didn't see kids. I didn't see a family. I didn't see a girlfriend. I didn't see it. It was just like, it seemed like he was just a really tightly wound and really like all ball. And I just wonder if he is unhappy because he's just doesn't have a life.
Look, he's one of those guys who had his home broken into this year while he was playing a game. He didn't like the fact that the woman who reported it was his Playboy model playmate girlfriend, because he's working like 4 or 5 of those in visiting cities. Like, Joe Burrow is a young man throwing it around town, I am sure. You don't frost your tips like he did last year unless you're getting a little, you know, dessert. So
doesn't Franco Finn frost his tips? Or what are you saying? I mean, anybody with frost, didn't John Lund frost tips? I mean, what are we really saying here?
Well, you know, so you just kind of blew up a hole in my theory about the frosted tips there. Really. But, you know, I'm not worried about Joe Burrow and his social life. I think he's unhappy because he's in a usually unhappy football situation. I think he's sitting around Cincinnati saying, I got Jamar Chase and T. Wiggins, but this ain't fun. I got a cheap owner. I got Trey Hendricks, who isn't even playing right now, but, you know, has been one of the best players on this team, and they're ready to move on from him instead of paying him what he might be worth. And you just can't like that situation if you're a quarterback.
Here's the thing. Would you make this deal or not? Would you make that deal? Brock Purdy, Alfred Collins, the next two number ones, Alfred Collins, Brock Purdy for Joe Burrow. Since he called, they're offering it right now. You got 10 seconds. Do you want to do it?
That deal, no. But here's the thing. Because we are talking about Joe Burrow, we can talk further. I'm not hanging up on you. We're not doing that deal. That is too much for a guy who has been reconstructed twice now. Full on, you know, like whatever you thought Brandon Ayuk did to his knee, Joe Burrow had it worse. I'm not calling him damaged goods. You know, you and I just mentioned this real quickly before the show started today. Joe Burrow is not a great quarterback because of his pure athleticism. He's athletic enough to move around the pocket. He's got an arm that's been kissed by God.
Well, I don't think he's diminished. Like you were saying, he's beat up physically. I'm saying, I know he's had some major injuries. Heck, that first year, that was an incredible injury he had, and I saw the rehab thing. But I don't think he's, like, from watching him, I don't think he's a diminished player at all. Guys get diminished. Like Chad Pennington was all of a sudden not that good of a player because he had lost a little bit of arm strength. So, I mean, guys do get hurt and they're no longer have the same skill set. I think Joe Burrow, I wouldn't be afraid of trading for Joe Burrow because of his health. I'd be afraid of trading for Joe Burrow because is he a happy guy? You know, I don't want to take out, I would say no to this trade. Why? Because I want to see if I can win a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy. I think I can win a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy. I believe in Brock Purdy. I believe in Brock Purdy. I really do. Now,
I do too.
You know, we almost should do an exercise. I almost feel like this is an exercise that needs to be done. Do you or don't you believe in Brock Purdy? I think we all should ask ourselves that question. And I do. I believe in Brock Purdy. I believe the 49ers are going to win a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy. I'd like to hear almost everybody who covers this team in any way, shape, or form, or is a media person in any way, shape, or form. I'd like to hear across the board where people are, because I get the feeling that there's just a lot of people that are kind of they don't have any conviction. They didn't have any conviction to begin with. They don't have any conviction now. And they would just, they're just swaying in the wind. So, and if he wins, Damon, they're going to say, oh yeah, we knew he was going to win. And if he doesn't win, they're just going to sit there. Oh yeah, we knew he wasn't going to win. This is the truth, by the way.
Right. So here's the deal. So there's a very good question. The guy here just said, define believe in the chat.
I believe he's going to win a Super Bowl with the Niners.
How about this? He's been to as many Super Bowls already as Joe Burrow has. So they're tied, going once in their careers here. Brock Purdy is 4 years younger than Joe Burrow. I like that about him. He is deep in this offense to the point where he knows what Shanahan doesn't want. He knows how to make check in and out of the right play. There's a lot of institutional knowledge that he has about the 49ers that Joe Burrow could not bring with him.
He's the leader of the room. That's the other thing. The guys believe in him and like him.
I believe in Brock Purdy. I also believe Joe Burrow is the better quarterback.
I think everybody believes that Joe Burrow is the better quarterback. Right. So then it's just a matter of, is it as simple as that?
Here's the thing.
It was with Stafford and Goff.
This is great sports talk radio, but that's all it is. That trade is not happening. I don't think either team is coming off either player. That is not, this is the internet came up with something, retweet it. It is interesting to talk about. It's fun to talk about. There's certainly a lot of wiggle room in the conversation.
It comes from the speech. It comes from his speech. He came out the other day. He seemed unhappy. He sounds like he wants to go. Now, like we all know.
2.0, right? Andrew Luck 2.0.
The players own the leverage. The players own the leverage. So all it's going to take, right now it's preposterous. All it's going to take is for Joe Burrow to say at the end of the year, hey, you know what? All things being relatively equal. I mean, he wouldn't even have to say, get me out. All he would have to say is, you know, all things being relatively equal, I think I'd rather move on to somewhere else. And that would probably be enough right there to make Cincinnati at least consider options. And then, of course, the Niners make sense because they're in the other conference. So the first question is, get them the heck out of my conference. And then the next question would be, you know, who's Cincinnati's next quarterback? And the 49ers, between Mac Jones and Brock Purdy, have some decent options to throw back to them. There's a lot of deals that could be made there. So I don't know. The odds we're talking about it, the odds of it happening are low. I wouldn't do this trade. I would do a trade. But as I said, before I made the trade, I want to talk to Joe Burrow. If I was Kyle Shanahan, if I was John Lynch, I want to talk to Joe Burrow. I want to play golf with Joe Burrow. I want to hang out and go to dinner with Joe Burrow. I just want to get a vibe for Joe Burrow. And as long as I feel like he's not like, you know, deeply unhappy or, you know, some tortured soul. Cause you got a really rock solid leader in Brock Purdy. You can't just uproot your rock solid leader and replace him with a guy who's going through a midlife crisis. And you,
right, I don't want sullen, morose Joe Burrow.
Right. Or some guy who's, you know, he's got all kinds of issues that we don't know about. And it's like, because I believe Brock Purdy is, you know, Brock Purdy is a good guy as far as like, I think he's proven at this point that Brock is exactly what you want as a guy.
He's a boy scout.
But I mean, he's exactly what you want as a guy in that he works hard. He's all ball. He's humble, but he's also cocky. He's a leader. He's mobile in a sport where mobility in the pocket is actually kind of almost a prerequisite. He's, you know, he doesn't quite have the big time stature, but I do think he's going to win a Super Bowl. So we'll see. We'll see where this goes. Let's hit some supers.
Let's do it.
We're also, of course, brought to you by Habas Law. And we get that on the board as well. Habas Law, a proud sponsor of the Krug Show. We love Habas Law. What I love the most about Habas Law is that they're rooted in the community. 1-800-INJURED. They will fight to make it right. Habas Law, they're incredible. Omar Tarek and the entire Habas Law team. They do so many great things for the, you know, they blood drives and pet donation or pet adoptions and loaves and fishes and all the different things that they have going on. They're really rooted in the community. Their heart's in the right place, and they're great PI attorneys. And they don't, they win. You want to win? Call these guys. Omar, Tarek, and the Habas Law team. Habaslaw.com on the web. HABBAS Law. 1-800-INJURED. They will fight to make it right. Terrific PI attorneys. If you need a terrific PI attorney, call them.
Larry, I know you're working off a laptop, so let me take us through these. Let me do the clicking for you here. Oh, no, you got it? You good?
I'm good. Okay. Here we go. Fuji Simeon, please let the cat machine fail. Larry, I loathe to say it, but tonight SI goes up against Ventura in Fullerton for the California D3 AA championship. There you go. SH, your phony. We got the Bruce Mahoney. Hey, you, there's nothing you can do. I said, you just can't stop that cat machine.
Oh, boy.
We are SI. That's right. We are
SI. We are.
We are.
It's like being in Happy Valley. You get the chills when you hear that. Oh, boy. All right, let's go. Let's go.
It really does. It really does. I mean, I once again, for those of you in the back, we are
Fuji. SI. I mean, let me answer Fuji here SI. With a t-shirt tug. Let's go. Mendoza. Mendoza's already, he's won the College Player of the Year. I think he's already won the Walter Camp or the Davey O'Brien. Like every single little, you might be the Heisman. Mendoza's picking those up along the way to the New York Athletic Club. I think Indiana is going to win a Heisman.
Here's my only question about Mendoza. He's got a big arm. He's athletic. He's smart. He seems like a little too corny and dorky to lead a room full of badass dudes. But maybe that's just the way he came across in that interview. But he came across
the glue, Larry. He is.
He's a little bit geeky.
Yes.
But what you don't see often, it's kind of a weird trait for the leader of your football team to be geeky. But I got to say that maybe he's multifaceted. So I'll just go with that. I believe in Fernando Mendoza, but that was a little bit of a pause there. You know,
and it just seemed a little bit too rehearsed and polished. I'll agree with you. It was a little, weird.
I was thinking not rehearsed and polished. I was thinking just young, just very young. Like, you know, right. Like that's kids a very young. Right. Trent Williams is a grown ass man. He owns his own goddamn plane. You know what I mean? You know, there's some badass dudes in the NFL. I don't know. Are they all going to go for that guy? I don't know. He's a little
bit of Star Wars. Look at it this way. Whatever team he goes to will be bad enough to where everyone in the room can just shut the fuck up because it's this guy's team now.
Yeah, I know. But it's a little Star Wars action figure-esque vibe. We got this one. If Ricky isn't involved again, time to panic. Yes. Yes.
I mean, look at it this way.
Time to put that guy's face on a milk box, a milk carton. If he doesn't show, this guy's going to be America's most wanted. I mean, where the hell is he?
Here's one thing I'm never going to talk about ever again. How good Ricky Pearsall looked in training camp. I don't care anymore.
I don't want to hear anybody talk him up. Stop talking him up. You know what? I asked yesterday, Damon, you would have been so proud of me. In the Kubiak interview, I said, hey, look. This guy's not performing. Is it him or is it you guys? And the look on Kubiak's face when I dropped the, is it you guys? Like it ain't us. Don't blame us. You know, it's like, but you know, it's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, what I meant by that is just like, is he not getting the ball because like, you're not just throwing him the ball, he's, you know, or is he not getting the ball because he's just not open? And I'm tired of asking it that way. So I'm like, is it on him or is it on you guys? Because it's like they're always like, we're so happy with Ricky. He's really doing everything we want. Great. It'd be great. How about some catches? How about some touchdowns? It's like an awesome sports talk show host that can't get ratings. He's awesome, this guy. Fuji Simeon. Boo St. Ignatius Lacrosse, Larry. Oh, come on. Come on. Those kids are trying hard. Fuji Simeon, Michigan coach story is crazy. And in court today.
Yeah. I mean, Sherrone Moore had to be held because he was maybe a candidate to do some self-harm. Like that's how spiraled his life gone. Has just, you're the head coach of Michigan, and now you're about to get a divorce, and you have absolutely no professional future to be seen at all.
Hey, you know, my advice to you, the young kids looking at this situation, zip it up, man. Keep it in your pants. Keep it in your pants. Find a real nice girlfriend. You know, do whatever you want to do. But at that point, keep it in your pants. Don't shit where you work or where you eat.
Don't dip the pen in the company ink, the old chestnut. Can Ricky do anything at all? Let's go. Let's go, Joseph. I mean, it's time. It's time for Ricky to do something. The amount of nothing, 5 catches, 20 yards in the last 3 weeks. I ain't going to get it done.
Should I pretend I'm at the White Courtesy Telephone? Paging Ricky Pearsall, White Courtesy Telephone. Ricky Pearsall, White Courtesy Telephone. Paging Ricky Pearsall, needing an explosive catch. Paging Ricky Pearsall, needing a touchdown. I mean, bro, you're sitting courtside at the Warrior games. Oh, by the way, remember I made a big deal about Sky Moore courtside and the whole deal. You know, those guys were sitting courtside and he was sitting in the cheap seats. They had a courtside seat for him, but his boy was with him.
There you go.
So they didn't have a seat for his boy. So he's like, he's loyal to his boy.
That's, you know, I like Sky Moore even more.
Seriously. Joseph Ehrenberg, the positive one. This game could be treated like an extended bye.
Look, that's the number one. That's the number one way to lose it. You should treat this game like the Super Bowl until it isn't.
Yeah, I hear you. But as soon as you get up, extended bye time. Big Tone. I know how Rick can help throw them. I know how Rick can help throw him the fucking ball.
Get open, and I'm sure. Look at it this way. Get open, and I'm sure that he will. It's not like Brock is icing him out.
Yeah. Maybe I should ask that question. Then I'd be going full attack mode.
Are you icing out your number one pick?
Is there a reason that you're not throwing him? Get all controversial. Ehrenberg, Rusty Rick is always coming back from surgery.
Injury, whatever, yes.
I love Ehrenberg. Ah, Ehrenberg, you're very positive. Ehrenberg probably works for Hallmark. We don't even realize it. Lyle says, seems like they only use Kendrick Bourne when Mack is playing quarterback. Why? Yeah, I think it's because JJ is in a contract drive and and I think he's basically given them, the Niners, the stink eye for even bringing Bourne into the room. I think he looks at Bourne as maybe the enemy. I don't know, but Bourne had a couple big games and it's like he has not been heard from since. And it's like JJ, 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 and more JJ. So I get the feeling that there's a backstory there. Lyle Bolyard says, if Robert Saleh leaves next year for head coaching gig, head coaching job, I think the Niners should go after Jim Schwartz for defensive coordinator. What do you guys think? I mean, he's a wide nine guy. If you want continuity on your D.
He and Shanahan, though, aren't exactly, best of friends, right? And I just think that Gus Bradley's already the man in waiting. And I think that there's a very good chance that Saleh comes back next year because it's important for him to step into the right situation more than the next situation. And I think he knows that. I think he got stung by that in New York. And I'm actually going to be talking about that as the lead topic on my 11 a.m. show, Larry, along with trying to get Fish tickets at the Sphere. I got to log on to Ticketmaster here. So let's wrap this up. I got to take a leak too.
Lick Scorpion says Robert Saleh will end quest for 6. Bet you money. I'd love to see it. Terrence says if Zach Taylor's out in Cincy, Saleh would be what they need. Hope he never leaves, though. That's a good one. You two gentlemen are elegant friction.
Elegant friction. Elegant
I friction. Enjoy your banter and crossfire. You two and David Lombardi are my favorite, my trinity of local sports commentary. Stay on path.
We're a trinity, and elegant friction is my phrase of the day. That's fantastic. Thank you.
So it's a band at my kid's high school, I believe.
I'm going to go up to Jillian. I'm going to say, Jillian, you want a little elegant friction tonight? She's going to be like, get the hell out of here.
Yeah. Well, that's you probably go to jail in certain states for saying that. Fuji Simeon, does Rivers play at all for the Colts this season? I would think so. Otherwise, why the hell do it? But if he stays on the practice squad, his Hall of Fame eligibility is undeterred. So we'll see.
Right. He's got to make the active roster to reset his eligibility.
I don't think he cares about that. McFadden says, should Sky get the ball near the line of scrimmage, a la Debo? Run game benefited best when there was unpredictable perimeter threats making moving everywhere. I agree. No, I do. I would like to see Sky utilized as a gadget guy around the line of scrimmage because I think he's tough. I think he could do some good things. And then Joseph Ehrenberg, Rams will win the Super Bowl. Stafford's gone, and the Rams will get Joe Burrow. Oh, God. Yeah, that would be bad. That would be bad. On that note, thanks to Habas Law, thanks to Sleeper, thanks to Pig in a Pickle, thanks to you, Damon. You want to thank anybody before we bolt for the door? I'm going live in 7 minutes with Chase Sr. on the Krug Show.
Tell Chase I said hello. Always enjoy his work. And, we're going to be getting into Robert Saleh, what his future looks like and how he shouldn't jump at a chance. But there's no loss out there. Like, do not worry about Robert Saleh's future, because he's either going to put himself in the right situation to win big, or he's going to go to a loser that backs up the truck for him in a fashion that means he'll never have to work another day in his life. So don't worry about Robert Saleh. We're going to be talking about that. Don't worry about the Titans. It's time to look better against a deplorably awful football team. This could be a springboard for a really fun run. So I'm going to leave everyone with this. Like and subscribe and hit that notify button too. Kruger and I will be back at it coming up on Monday with another wake up. And I will, of course, have my live watch party, which Larry will be starting a little later than normal. The live watch party I'm going to set as a 2 o'clock start time. Because a viewer, a guy who watched you an awful lot, guy who watched me an awful lot, a guy named Ernie, who was one of the first to like show up and actually support me at Plus Manias. Sadly, Ernie passed away. I talked about that on a show this week. It got back to his mother, and I was invited to Ernie's funeral on Sunday, and so I'm going to that. He was there for me. I'm going to be there for him. And that meant an awful lot. The guy meant an awful lot. So we will be starting our watch party late on Sunday. And then you and I will be back at it next week, and then it's the playoff push. So go Niners. Be good to everyone. Tell the people that you know you love them while they're here to hear it. That's my advice today. Thanks so much for watching. Hit like and notify.
RIP Ernie. I'll say this. The rest of the day today, you can catch me at 6 o'clock tonight on Niners Nightly on KMBR. Paul Kaharsky's going to stop by, and he's going to be incredibly negative on the Titans. And then tomorrow we're going to have 49er forecast. And I believe Todd Husak is going to be our guest, though we haven't taped that yet. And we haven't confirmed that yet. So, but looking forward to it. Have a great rest of the day. Shanahan speaks today. We'll have one more practice and then we'll get out of here. For Damon, I'm Larry. Have a great one. Join me in 3 minutes with Chase Sr. Peace.